a bit. They were upset. They, you know, they didn't like the idea that Jesus wasn't welcome in Samaria. You know, the Jews and the Samaritans, like I said, they didn't get along very well together. They said to Jesus, this is what the disciples said, Lord, will thou, they say wilt, but the word is will thou, that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elijah did. And now, Jesus, do you want us to call down fire from heaven like Elijah did? And the disciples knew, they knew some things because Jesus had taught them many things. But the disciples knew that they had the power to call down fire from heaven because they knew Elijah had did this, you know. But what they hadn't learned yet was how to cast out those devils until Jesus showed them as they was on this journey. See, we don't know all things, but if we keep following Jesus on this journey on our way to heaven, everything will be made clear to us. We're not going to get it all in one day, in one time, in one month, in one year. As we walk with God, He will make things clearer for us. And in verse 55, Jesus answered the question, should we call down fire from heaven to consume the Samaritans because they didn't receive Him? And I want you to listen to what Jesus said. In verse 55, Jesus turned and He rebuked them. Do you know what a rebuke is? Jesus turned and He rebuked them. And this is what He said, ye know not what manner of spirit you are of. Saints of God, do you know what manner of spirit? This is the subject of our lesson. Do you know what manner of spirit you are? Do you know?
We like to call you Jesus. That's what we call you. Yeah. You were born in a manger,
but on a tree. Like to save man, the
this is KAYT. Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Isaiah chapter 45, and I just want to pick up verse 4, and then we'll walk back through as we're given liberty. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 4 says, "For Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated in God's presence. The fact that Isaiah records that God says at the end of verse 4, "Though thou hast not known me," is very, very special. Because if you read verses 1, 2, and 3, you will discover that those are shouting verses. But if you read verse 4, it's a sobering verse. It puts things in place. It helps you to understand the mind of God, the purpose of God, and how God is able to use whomever he chooses, whether they are saved or not saved, whether they are his chosen people or not, whether they are holy or hellish. God is no respecter of persons, but whom God loves, he loves. And he does some pretty spectacular things for those whom he loves. And so when we begin to look at this word and we understand that if we would back up, because he says, "Though thou hast not known me," that literally means you don't know me yet. It doesn't mean like the old song said, "If you don't know me by now, you will never, ever know me." It just literally means you don't know me yet. Because if you keep on reading the verses, you're going to discover he gets to know and love the Lord, and he does what God wants him to do. But if you back up to verse 1, you'll see that this is God speaking to Isaiah about a prophecy that he makes some 200 years or so before this man by the name of Cyrus is even born, before he's ever thought of in the earth realm. God chose him as a pagan king to lead Israel into deliverance and to bless them and to restore them. And because he decided to use this pagan king, he did some mighty wonderful things for him because of Israel. Now listen to this, because he starts off verse 1. He says, "Thus saith the Lord to his anointed." Then he makes clear who he's talking to. To Cyrus, "whose right hand I have holden," which literally meant that he has strengthened his right hand. He has given him power. He's given him the victory. What for? "To subdue nations before him. And I will," he goes on to say, "I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut." Now he moves on from this prophecy and preferencing Cyrus 200 years before he even gets on the scene. And from this we can also understand how God has the ability, before tomorrow gets here, to already work things out. For those of us who worry about our future and worry about our tomorrows, God wants us to understand that he's already working on our tomorrows today. Believers don't have to go around worrying and wondering and crying and disbelieving the power of God. God sees things so far in advance that he's already worked them out before you ever got here. While you're trying to figure it out, he's already worked it out. You've just got to trust him and believe him and know. Now listen, before Cyrus is ever born, look at what verse 2 says. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. Listen, this is prescribed protection he's talking about now. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. Now what is he talking about? The gates of Babylon were so great and so enormous. If you remember the movie Jurassic Park and those large, large gates that opened its way to the prehistoric times, and those gates were so massive, you could only imagine what was behind them. Babylon was such a great nation. When folks saw the gates of Babylon, they trembled at the power of Babylon. Babylon had conquered many nations and had many nations under their belt. And behind those two-leaved gates, they had three bars that would go across the width of the gates so that people could not ransack the gate, could not break through the gate, because they had pure iron bars running through them. And God says, I will break in pieces, listen, the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. Now to God, he's saying, all that seems impossible for man is nothing to me. I will handle that for you. Now because he told him, I have holden thee, what Cyrus would come to understand was, while God used him, it was God doing it for him. Look at what he goes on to say in verse 3. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places. Now this is promised prosperity. Well, what good is deliverance and you ain't got nothing once you're delivered? When God delivers you, he wants you to live delivered. He wants you to live free. He wants you to live blessed. He wants you to have what the devil stole from you and seven times more. He wants people to know when they look at you that you are highly favored of the Lord. You are blessed. God is fighting your battles. God is providing for your needs. That God gets the glory and you get the good. So he says, with your deliverance, you need some gold, silver, stuff. So listen to what he's going to do. I will give thee the treasures of darkness. Well, these are treasures that were taken from other nations that were defeated conquests and all of those things, and innocent nations and smaller nations and all of these that had been stacked and stored. And then the king took the best of those gifts and all of those treasures and hid those riches in secret places. Only very few ever knew where those riches were. And God says, not only am I going to bless you with provisional needs, I'm going to show you where the good stuff is. Now, what does that mean today? That means today, when folk are messing with you and God's got something for you, he'll show you just how to get it. He'll show you some government programs that nobody else know about that you know about. He'll show you where it's buried out in the backyard, underneath a mattress, in a shoe, in a sock, wrapped up in a box. He'll show you in a coffee can, hiding underneath the flour. He'll show you where the riches are hidden.
and you wasn't even looking for them. Why? Because he said, I will give to thee. I'm just going to bless you with this. Listen, but he says, why? That thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which called thee by thy name, am the God, listen now, of Israel. Isn't that what God is saying? I'm doing all that I'm doing for you, that you may know, Cyrus, listen, that I, the Lord, I am the God of Israel. Now, he goes on and he says in verse 4, for Jacob my servant's sake and Israel mine elect. Now he puts in perspective, this is preemptive purpose, he puts in perspective the fact that I wasn't doing this for you, Cyrus. I was doing this through you. I was doing this for my people. Jacob the patriarch, the one I promised I would do this to and for, and Israel mine elect, which means the people of my choice, my choosing. And when he says elect or choosing or choice, it meant there were others he could have chosen. But out of all the others, he chose little Israel. And you've got to understand that Israel was not that grand and glorious of its own. But it's because God attached his love to Israel, Israel became all of that. My brothers and sisters, we're not all of that in and of ourselves. I know that didn't just shatter somebody's self-esteem right now. You don't think you, no, you think you all of that and a bag of chip and popcorn and all of that stuff that go with that. But without God, you are not all of that. It's good to have a healthy self-image, but can I tell you, without God, you are nothing. You can do nothing worth anything. And it's only because of God that you're able to do whatever it is you're able to do, because he loves and favors you. For Jacob, my servant's sake, and Israel, mine elect. Everything I've done for them. Don't get it twisted. You don't even know me. I knew you before that was a you, but you don't even know me. Now later he gets to know God and goes into an intimate relationship with him, but at this point he doesn't know God, and yet God has used him for the glory of his and for the good of his people. Now listen to this, and I'm gonna come back to this. He says, I have even called thee by thy name. What is he telling Cyrus? Cyrus, before your daddy, your granddaddy, your grand-granddaddy, your grand-grand-granddaddy, before your great-great-great-granddaddy, and on ever knew that would be a you, I knew that would be a you, and I named you myself. You didn't just happen here. I brought you here. I had a special, specific time for you to arrive here. And when you got here, I had a purpose for you here. And it was for my glory and the good of my people. So don't think that this is about you. It's about my people. But then look at what he goes on to say. I have surnamed thee. Wait a minute. I have even called thee by thy name. That's Cyrus. Yeah. But then he says, I have surnamed thee. Now, what's that about? Well, when you surname someone, the essence of it here in this verse references respect and honor. Well, now he started off, if you will, in verse 1 saying, thus saith the Lord to his anointed. That should have been good enough. But because he was anointed and appointed to an assignment that God had prescribed for him some 200 plus years ago, God says, what I'm going to do is I'm going to let you take out the big bad Babylon. And he calls Cyrus to take out the bully who took out the others. And how many of you know if you hurt the bully, the buddies back up? He defeated 14 nations and then, listen, received the name Cyrus the Great. Ah, God surnamed him Cyrus the Great. But he was only great because God fought all of his battles. And God wanted him to know, listen, I did all of this before you ever got here. I was working out your tomorrows before you were ever thought of in the earth realm. And my brothers and sisters, he says, all of this so that we can get an understanding of how God operates when we belong to God. It is God's responsibility as well as privilege to take care of his own. It is God's responsibility to provide for us. Or we might hit some pitfalls. We might have some stormy days. We might run into these problems or those problems or that and the other. But God is our deliverer. And a strong deliverer is our God. What we can't do, our God can do. And when we begin to understand that God has got this thing fixed, that if you really understood that what you're worrying about tomorrow and got an understanding today that God's already worked it out or he's already working it out, I can promise you this much, by the time tomorrow gets here, you'll be in good shape. I don't care what it looks like right now. I don't care what it feels like right now. I don't care how long you've been going through it. Listen, God is still in control of what you're dealing with in spite of what you're dealing with. God knows how to do everything there is that concerns you. Now there are some things that we've done that displease God. So God is a God that disciplines his children. Some of the stuff we're going through, we caused. Ain't no sense in you sitting up here acting holier than thou. Like you got a halo over your head, like, you've never done anything. No, just some of the stuff you did last night, you ought to be on your knees right now. He knows you, everything you've done. He knows who you've hung out with. He knows everything there is to know. And yet he still loves you. Loves you. Y'all getting quiet on me now. But listen at this. If God is working our tomorrows out today, we ought to have the assurance of Romans 8:28. Romans 8:28 says, and we know. Talking about the believing crowd. That all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, my brothers and my sisters, I need you to understand that there are just some things God is doing in your life and for your life, and he may be using some of the folk who are most unlikely to bless your life. But trust God, because God knows what you need and have need of, and sometimes it's the unlikeliest folk who have your stuff. The folk you like many times don't have what you need.
Yeah, but when you get up on that job tomorrow, just realize that sometimes because of your favor, because God favors you, he blesses that job to keep on being profitable so you'll have a job to go to. Y'all don't act like you believe that. I'm trying to get somebody to understand that because God loves you and favors you so much, he will work out some circumstances of other folk just because he wants to bless you. And they get, listen, they get their blessing not because of them, but because they are connected to you. Sometimes your team win just because you on the team. Even if you ride the bench. Sometimes the folk connected with you don't understand what I'm trying to tell you. But sometimes people who are with you are blessed and get in doors and places they never would have gotten into if they weren't going in with you. But because God favors you, he flavors them. I don't think you heard what I just said. I said, because God favors you, he flavors them. Let me give you an example. Sister Montgomery had a piece of candy, and she only had one piece left. And she asked me in that way that my mother taught me as a kid to respond appropriately. She said, I only have one piece left. You don't want any, do you? I said, no, of course not. I don't want it. And she opened up, I don't know if it was a Laffy Taffy banana, which I love. But she was favored to have it. Now, I didn't want to bother her about none of it. But when she started talking, the flavor. I couldn't share the candy, but I could sure get the flavor of the one who was favored to have it. All I'm trying to tell somebody is blessed because of you. And sometimes you need to know who you are and whose you are and let folk know, listen, you don't understand. You are being blessed because God favors me. So you need to stop acting up. Get yourself together. Because you are blessed because of. Oh, my brother, my sister, I don't know how you feel about it, but I do know God wants us to know that there is no shortage in God. Amen. And those whom he favors, he'll do anything for. But he needs you to trust him. Believe in him. Never doubt him, no matter what it looks like. You need to know in your heart of hearts that this day, God is working on my tomorrows. And he's not delaying it. He's doing it today, right now, right now, right now. My heart shall not fear. I shall not be dismayed. I know God loves me and is working everything out in my favor and for my good. Give the Lord a hand of praise.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org or